Today Shem Sech Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Dalad. We will begin on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom. Gufa Tani Shila. We learned yesterday that Shila taught us My Tamid Rebbe Lezer. What is the reason for Rebbe Lezer that one may not purchase a Parah Aduma from an Akum? That a Parah Aduma purchased from an Akum is disqualified to be used? Says the Gemara, the Ksiv, because the pasuk says regarding the din of Parah Aduma, Dabra b'nei Yisrael v'yichu eilecha Parah Aduma, b'nei Yisrael yichu yakichu. One should purchase a Parah Aduma strictly b'nei Yisrael yakichu, only from a Jew, v'nei of the Kacham yakichu, but one should not purchase a Parah Aduma from an Akon. Ask the Gemara, Elama Ata, if that's the way we understand the pasuk, that when the Torah uses these words, it means to limit, that we may only buy it from a Yisrael, not from an Akum. The Torah, when introduces the parsha of the Mishkan, and that Klai Yisrael were told to donate to the Mishkan, why don't we explain the pasuk similarly? Hachinami, the Bnei Yisrael Yakichu, we may only purchase items for the Mishkan from Bnei Yisrael, they know of the Kacham Yakichu, and we may not purchase items for the Beis HaMikdash from the Akum. And as the Mefarshim explained, even though the Gemara we're now going to speak about speaks about the Beis HaMikdash, and the pasuk that we now quoted is a pasuk regarding the Mishkan, the model of how donations were brought to the Beis HaMikdash follows the model what was used in the Mishkan. And if we're now saying that the pasuk seems to be teaching us that we may not purchase items from the Akum for the Mishkan, so should be the halacha for the Beis HaMikdash. Yet, v'chi teiman, if you'll say hachinami, that indeed so is the halacha, and that one may not purchase items from the Beis HaMikdash from the Akum, ask the Gemara, v'am Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, show us Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Lezer was asked, at hechen kibur aveim, how far does the mitzvah of kibur aveim go? Amlehem, and the response was, tzuru'u, we can learn ma'os oivik chavim echad, what was the story between an oivik chavim la'oviv sheba Ashkelon. What this Akum, the famous story of Dama ben Asina that we're about to learn, how he treated his father. Dama ben Asina Shemai. This Akum was Dama ben Asina. And again, as we've mentioned previously, the Gemara had taught us earlier in our perek, that we may not, earlier in our Masechta, that we may not compliment the Akum. And how here do we find that we are complimenting the Akum? Answer the Mefarshim, as we quoted, that if the purpose of mentioning them is for us to learn from them, then it's permissible. And that exactly was what was happening over here. We're trying to learn how Heichen Kibur Aveim, to use this as a model of how Kibur Aveim should be fulfilled. Pamachas Bikshu Mimenu Avonim L'Eifed. There were Avonim that were needed, stones that were put into Eifed that were needed, and they, Dama ben Asina had those stones. There is a Machloikus Rishonim, which we will understand better in a moment. What stones is our Gemara referring to? Rashi explains, as is the wording of the Gemara, that we're referring to Avnei Shoyam that were kept in the Eifed. Tosfos says that we're referring here to the Avnei Meluim, yet others say, the Mashal explains it this way, that we're referring here to stones, both the Avnei Shoyam and Avnei Meluim. The two Avnei Shoyam and one of the Avdei Meluim. Furthermore, Tosfos and other Rishonim, based on this Gemara, say that the Shamir, which was the worm with which we know the stones that were used in the Beis HaMikdash were cut was still obviously in available during the Beis Sheni, because our Gemara, the story of Dama ben Sina, happened during the Beis Sheni, and these stones were obviously used during that time. There would be no purpose in trying to obtain these stones if we didn't have with what to cut these stones. It must be, say Tosfos, that the Shamir was still available during the Beis Sheni, and even though the Gemara seems to say that the Shamir became extinct, Tosfos says that it was only after the Churban Beis Sheni. The Ritva takes a different approach. The Ritva says that the Shamir was still available, obviously, during the time of the Beis Sheni, but it wasn't as available as it was during the time of Beis Rishon, and that's what the Gemara means when the Gemara says that it, in Masechta Gittin, that it was one of the things that was no longer available. And they were willing to buy the stones from him, either B'Shishim Ruben Tzchar, for a profit of 600,000 gold pieces, Rav Kahana B'Shmoinim Ribu, for 800,000 gold pieces. Ask the Mefarshim, that even though we know, and we're going to learn, and we're learning now in the Gemara, that there is a very serious mitzvah of Kibur Ave'im. Kibur Ave'im, however, says is the halacha mishal av, v'lo mishal ben, meaning that the funds for Kibur Ave'im, we use the father's money funds, not the son's funds. Yet in our Gemara, it seems that we're using that the son was prepared to take a loss for the mitzvah of Kibur Ave'im. So there are Mefarshim that explain that what Dama ben Sina was doing here was actually Lefnim Mishuras Hadim, more than the letter of the law actually requires. Other Rishonim explain that when we say that the son doesn't have to take a loss to be Mekayim Mitzvah Kibur Ave'im, it's as we just said, he's not obligated to take a financial loss. However, here it wasn't an issue of taking a loss. It was just the absence of being able to realize a profit, and that is permissible in a situation, that is prohibited in a situation of Kibur Ave'im. Another pshat, similar pshat, that if it will involve hurting the father, then the halacha is that Kibur Ave'im supersedes being mitzair, hurting the father. And here, that the father, as we're saying, the keys were under the father's head. As Mefarshim explained, the box in which the key to the safe where these stones were kept, the father was sleeping on that box, and therefore, in the Gemara, he refused to be mitzair his father to wake him up to get the keys, even though he could have gotten such a large profit for selling the stones. The Paiskim discuss that even though we know that halacha is the one is not allowed to wake up a father, a parent, what is the halacha discussed Aruch HaShulchan and other Paiskim in the situation where the father is sleeping and it comes this man for tefillah, this man Krishma, and if we won't wake him up, he'll be upset that he missed davening or he missed Krishma. May he be woken up. Say the Paiskim, the Aruch HaShulchan says, that of course we should wait till the last possible moment, but after the last possible moment comes and the father is sleeping, we may wake him up. So here too, ask the Mefarshim, if so, certainly the father would have been upset that he wasn't woken up. So why wasn't the son allowed to wake him up? Explain the Mefarshim that obviously here it was a situation that the father was this type of an individual that would be upset when he was woken up, even though his son could have made a large profit. Then, so the halacha is he may not be woken up. Only in a case where we know, like we just explained, that we know that the father is going to be upset if he missed davening, he missed Mat Krishma, is the halacha that we may not wake him up. So again, if we're learning, as the Gemara, that one may not buy the Yichli Truma, that one may not purchase items for the Beis HaMikdash from the Akum, so what's pshat in this whole story that they wanted to buy the Avnei Shoyam from Dami ben Asina? We couldn't have purchased it from anyway. He was an Akum. Answers the Gemara, Avnei Shoyam Hifsek Inyan. The Torah, when it speaks about the Truma, says, Dabba b'nei Yisrov Yichlu Truma. And the Pasuk says, Zov v'chesev v'nechayshev, with that connecting Vav, to teach us that this halacha applies, that we have to buy it strictly from a Jew. But when the Torah speaks about the Avnei Shoyam, the Torah doesn't have that Vav preceding the Avnei Shoyam, to teach us the Avnei Shoyam have a different rule, and the Avnei Shoyam may be purchased from the Akum. Ask the Gemara, V'Avnei Meluim Ksiv, doesn't the Torah use the words V'Avnei Meluim, the Hada Arvei, that it has the same halacha? And this is the basis for the pshat of Tosfos, where Tosfos said that what under discussion here is the Avnei Meluim, not the Avnei Choshen, because the Gemara's Teretz is only helpful regarding the Avnei Meluim, where the Torah uses the words V'Avnei Meluim, but it won't help us for the Avnei Choshen, for the Avnei Choshen Shoyam, where the Torah doesn't have the Vav. It must be, says Tosfos, that we're speaking about the Avnei Meluim, which the halacha is it must be purchased from a Jew. Rabbeinu Chananel, in defending Rashi's pshat, that Rashi says that we are in fact speaking about the Avnei Shoyam, says that we're not referring to the pasuk in Parashas Truma. Rather, here the Gemara is referring to the pasuk in Parashas V'yakel, where there the Torah used the words V'Avnei Shoyam V'Avnei Meluim Leifel Lechoshen. The Torah uses the letter Vav before the words Avnei Shoyam, and that pasuk is teaching us that the Avnei Shoyam may be only purchased from a Jew. For Oid, continues the Gemara, another question, Ketani Sefer, if we continue learning that Sefer of the story about Dami ben Asina, the Shana Cheres, Noida Loi Parah Aduma Be'edroi, a Parah Aduma was born in the herd of Dami ben Asina, Nechnesu Chachmei Yisrael Etzloi, the Chachmei Yisrael came to him to purchase that Parah Aduma. Amlam Yedeini Bechem, I am aware, Shemani Vakash Bechem Kol Mamon Sheba'olam Atem Noisenli, if I ask for any price for the Parah Aduma, I could receive it. However, Achshav Eini Mevakish El Oisem Mamon Shevshvati Tivishal Abba, I'm only interested in getting back the money that I lost in not being able to do the deal last year for the Avnei Shoyam and Avnei Meluim. So we see that you're allowed to buy the Avnei Shoyam, that they bought Kabonis, the Parah Aduma, from Akum. We just said, Shiloh, we began our shir, that we may not purchase a Parah Aduma from an Akum. Answers the Gemara, Hasmai de Tagre Yisrael Zoven. They didn't purchase it directly from the Akum. They purchased it from a middleman, and then it may be purchased from an Akum. The Mefarshim asks, why doesn't the Gemara begin with this question, which this is a much stronger question under Rabbi Elazar, that the Parah Aduma, which Rabbi Elazar says we may not purchase from an Akum, here we see clearly that they did purchase. So Mefarshim answers, the first Gemara brought the Reisha, that there Rabbi Elazar said that from there we see that Rabbi Elazar is the Tana of this Braisa. Once we've established that Rabbi Elazar is the Tana of the Braisa, the Gemara has a very powerful question: how could the Braisa say that they bought the Parah Aduma? Now, explained Mefarshim, our original question is also answered. We asked, how did they buy the Avnei Shoyam or the Avnei Meluim, whatever it is, from Dama, or how did they want to buy the Avnei Shoyam and the Avnei Meluim from Dama and Nesina? The answer is that they didn't buy it directly from him. They bought it through a sirsa, through a middleman, which our Gemara now is saying is permissible. I asked Mefarshim, the Gemara here says, Nichnasu Chachmi Yisrael Atzloi, that the Chazal came in to his home to check the Parah Aduma. But now we're saying that they didn't even buy it from him, they bought it from a sirsa, they bought it from someone else. Answered the Mefarshim, indeed they bought it from someone else. They still needed to come into his home to check it, to see what quality it was, if it had all the halachic requirements to be Apara Aduma. There's much discussion in the Achronim that what is the purpose of our Gemara bringing this story and what is the lesson from the story. Of course, the Pashup Shad, as we said earlier, is to teach us the mitzvah of Kibbutz Ava'im. But others want and to teach us the schar that one gets from Kibbutz Ava'im, and that even Dalman ben Asina, all he wanted was to make back the money that he lost from the mitzvah of Kibbutz Ava'im, but he wasn't interested in getting any more schar. He realized that the real schar for Kibbutz Ava'im is in the next world. However, there are many mefarshim that say that the purpose of the story is also to show the difference between Klal Yisrael and the Akum, and that Dalman ben Asina was always walking around upset that he lost the money because he was Mekayim Mitzvah Kibbutz Ava'im. Whereas Klal Yisrael, when they do a mitzvah, are not upset for doing a mitzvah, and the proof that they're not upset to do a mitzvah is actually the story, how they were able and prepared to spend so much money for a Parah Aduma, which we know Parah Aduma is the paradigm of a mitzvah, that's a chayk, that we don't understand. Kibbutz Ava'im, on the other hand, is a mitzvah that we understand. And the Gemara here is trying to teach us the difference between us and the Akum, that we're ready to spend so much money even for a mitzvah that we don't understand. Of course, Mefarshim say that the Pashup Shad in the Gemara is to teach us what Kibbutz Ava'im is and the Schar for Kibbutz Ava'im. And in fact, Mefarshim say we know that there were 10 Aseres HaDibros, 5 in each of the Luchas, and the first on the first luach is Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. The corresponding dibur on the other luach was Kabbat Esavicha Vasimecha. The lesson being that Kabbat Esavicha Vasimecha is equal, honoring our parent is equal to honoring Hashem. However, along the lines of what I just said, I saw that the Mefarshim bring beautiful stories to illustrate the lesson that we just gave. There's a famous story that the Baal Shem Tov one year came to Kol Nidre very late. And not only did he come to Kol Nidre very late, but when he finally did come into Kol Nidre, he walked over to one of the people standing in the shul and started discussing with him that the local mayor, the local governor of the town, a non-Jewish governor, had bought a dog, and he asked him, how much money did that person spend on a dog? And he said that he spent a very large sum of money on purchasing the dog. And then he asked him, well, what did he do with the dog? So he says, interestingly enough, he got angry at the dog, and he shot the dog. He said, okay, now we could go say Kol Nidre. And obviously all of the people standing in the shul did not understand what the Baal Shem Tov was doing with this entire story. After davening, the people approached him and asked him, what was your intent here with this entire episode? So he explained, there was a Jew standing in the street, very upset. And this non-Jew, this governor, drove by and he sees the Jew in the street, so very visibly upset. And he asks him, why are you upset? He says, because I need to marry off a child and I don't have any funds for that wedding. The governor went and gave him the entire amount of money that he needed. At that time, there was a tremendous kitrug, there was a tremendous argument in Shemayim against Klal Yisrael. Now here, one of our brothers needs to marry off a child, and there's no one prepared to support him other than this non-Jewish governor. And that's why the Baal Shem says he wasn't able to approach and begin davening Kol Nidre until he remembered the story that this governor, money didn't mean anything to him. The proof is that he spent a tremendous amount of money on purchasing a dog, and then he shot the dog. And he says, that's the difference between us and him, and that's why I could go say Kol Nidre. And in fact, if we look in the wording of the Gemara, the wording of the Gemara is very much in line with what we're saying. Because look at what the Dov ben Sina said. He said the words, He looks at the money that he spent on a mitzvah as a hefsid, as a loss. Klal Yisrael doesn't look at the mitzvah, at the money it spends on mitzvahs as a loss. Along the same lines, there's a story with the Kedushas Levi that he's once walking in the street and he goes over to a Jew and he asks him, "Did you daven mincha today?" He says, "Of course I daven mincha." She says, "I'd like you to sell to me the schar, the reward you receive for davening mincha." He says, "Of course I will never sell that." And the same thing, he approached another person, "Did you go to a shir today?" He said, "Of course I went to the shir today. Would you be prepared to sell to me the reward you receive for learning that in that shir?" He said, "Of course I would never sell that." He says, "Look at the difference between us and the Akum. We, when we do a mitzvah, even a mundane, everyday mitzvah, we're never prepared, chas v'sholem, to sell that mitzvah. We realize that that schar that we will get in Olam Haba is something that we can never give up." Here, he did a mitzvah of Kibbutz Aveim, but he was immediately ready to get the schar for the mitzvah, and he looked at it as a loss. Ask the Gemara. So now we're explaining that the reason Rabbi Elazar says that we're not allowed to buy an animal for parah aduma from Akum is because v'yichu elecha, it must be bought strictly from a Jew. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, l'chayish l'rviya, is Rabbi Elazar not also concerned that perhaps the animal was sodomized? V'tanya, amral Rabbi Elazar, ma'asav l'chum arav d'kachavim, we just learned that they bought the parah aduma from the goy, v'dama shmai, and his name was Dama. V'amrilei, and others say, Remetz Shmoy, that his name was Remetz. Amar Rabbi Elazar, v'sham raya. You can't bring a raya. So how could you say that you're not allowed to buy an animal from an Akum? You're not allowed to buy parah aduma from an Akum? To which Rabbi Elazar replied, v'sham raya. You want to bring a raya from that episode? Yisrael hay v'sham raya v'sham shenolda. Klai Yisrael, watch that animal that it should be clean. Now, if Rabbi Elazar is only concerned about the fact that they bought it from an Akum, why do they have to watch it? It must be that there is also a concern of Raviya. And indeed, says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar Tartiaslay. Rabbi Elazar says there are two issues involved in purchasing an animal, a paradum, from an Akum. One is Kicha, as we're learning, we're not allowed to purchase it from an Akum. And furthermore, V'chayish Namil Raviya, and that's why it had to be watched to make sure that it was never sodomized. Amamar, so now the Gemara goes into this Braisa. Yisrael hay misham ma'isa mishar shenolda. They were watched it from when it was born, that should not be sodomized. Ask the Gemara, why should we not be concerned? Dilma rava li'ima ki hava ma'abra. Maybe the mother was sodomized while she was pregnant. Dilma rava and rava taught it. Vlad hanagachas asura. The child born of a animal that killed someone may not be brought as a carbon. He of Vlad Nacha, because we look at it, that not only the mother is the Nachan, but that the child participated. And as the Mefarshim explained, because our Gemara clearly is following the opinion of Uber Yerich Iman, Vlad Han Nebas Asura, and similarly, we may not bring as a Parah Aduma the child of an animal that was sodomized, because we assume he of Lodinirbu, that not only was she sodomized, but the child that we want to use as the paraduma, which becomes, as we learned, disqualified from being a paraduma if it was sodomized. So what's the point of just watching her Misha Shinolda? We still have a concern that prior to that it did this act. The Rishonim ask, if the animal is a nachon, it killed someone, the halach is that such animal must be put to death. So what's the question if it can be used as a carbon? As soon as it's identified as a nachon, it has to be killed. Answer the Rishonim, that not in all situation is an animal which is a nachon put to death. Let's say there's only one aid that could testify that it's a nachon. Or let's say it's the owner himself who testifies that it's a nachon. It's mechuyiv misa, but it's not mechuyiv. It's mechuyiv misa. It's a nachon, but it's not mechuyiv misa. Furthermore, the Mefarshim ask that we know that for an animal to be kosher for a Parah Aduma, we've discussed and will discuss, it has to be an animal that no yoke came on it. And now we're saying that not only do the halachas apply to the child, but the halacha applies to the mother. Now how could the mother have ever conceived if it didn't mate with another animal to create the Parah Aduma? Say the Rishonim based on this question. So some Rishonim saying, we discussed this in the previous year, that mating is not necessarily considered Allah Aleha, that it necessarily came that way. However, others explain that even though we're saying that a Nachon or a Nirvas would disqualify, it doesn't disqualify having relations with another animal, mating with another animal, doesn't disqualify the offspring from being a Parah Aduma. The obvious reason is because otherwise you can never have a Parah Aduma. It can never get conceived any other way. So the question here is, what do we accomplish by watching this child from when it was born if prior to that its mother might have been sodomized? Ema, says the Gemara, they didn't just watch it from when it was born. They watched it from the moment it was conceived. Ask the Gemara, Venechish, but why should we not be concerned? Dilma Ravali Imamikara, that the mother was sodomized prior to this child being conceived. The Tanan, the Mishnah, says in Sechta Tmura, Kalap Sulim Lagabim's Bayek, any animal which is disqualified for the same term. The opinion of the Tanakama is that doesn't affect the status of the child. Vitanila, but we learned in the Braisa, Belezer, Oyser, Belezer says it does disqualify the child. And there's a machloikis amurum, how to understand the machloikis of Rabbi Elazar and Tanna Kamma. And explains the Gemara. Ha nichla Rava, if we follow the opinion of Rava, Dama Rava Amar Rav Nachman, machloikis, the machloikis between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan, if the mother gets disqualified, does it affect the child? Is only kishin nirbu, kishem doshim, if the mother was sodomized when it's already hegdish? Avuk shen chulin. If it was sodomized prior to that, divrei hakamatarim, it wouldn't affect the qualification of the offspring. So we could say that we watched it from when it became hegdish. We watched not only the child from conception, but we watched the mother from when we were magdish it. Eler of huna achinan amar of Nachman. That says mischloikis, the machloikis between Rabbi Elazar and the Tanakama is only kishin hirbu kishichulin if it was sodomized when it was chulin. Av kishim mikdushim, if it was sodomized after its hegdish, even the Tanakama will agree to surin. But according to Rabbi Elazar, if it was sodomized at any point, it becomes disqualified. And not only does it become disqualified, it disqualifies the offspring. So Michael, remember, what have we accomplished by watching this child from the moment of conception? Ema, says the Gemara, indeed we have to explain. They didn't just watch the offspring from the moment of conception, we watched the mother from the moment of conception. Ask the Gemara, V'nechesh Dilma Ravel Ima de Ima. What have we accomplished? We still have to worry about the grandmother that hasn't been watched. Perhaps it was sodomized. Answers the Gemara, Kula Hai Loich Shinan. And as the Tosfos Rid explains the Gemara, it's not to be understood the Gemara. We don't understand the Gemara that it's like a Sfek Sfeika. We don't know that anything happened to the mother. And we don't know if anything happened to the grandmother. And that's why we say it's fine. Because if the grandmother was sodomized, then it's not a sfek sfeika. It has nothing to do with the mother. The fact that it was sodomized would disqualify all of its future generations. Rather, explains the Tosfos Rid, the way to understand the Gemara is that even though the Torah teaches us that not only if the child was sodomized does it become disqualified to be a Parah Aduma, the same halacha applies if the mother was sodomized, but that halacha is limited to the child and its mother, not to the grandmother. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that even though there's a machloikis throughout Shash, if we consider by animals the status of the father of the animal, so here, what have we accomplished by watching the mother and the child, but maybe the father was sodomized? Clearly again, the halacha that the animal being nirva would disqualify it or its descendants only apply to the mother, not to the father's side. Amamar, so we learned that Yisrael ha-mishamrais ha-mishashinaitzrei. They watched this mother, and certainly the child from when they were conceived, to make sure that they were never sodomized. Ask them, however, menayadinan, how do we know that a paraduma would be born to watch these animals? Answers the Gemara, Amrav Kahana, Kais Adam Avirin Lefana Bashar Shalah Zakar. As it mated, they put a red cup in front of it. As we remember the parish in the Torah with Yaakov Avinu, whatever the animal looks at the time of mating affects what the child would be. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way you can make a Parah Adumah, so why do we begin to shear? That Parah Adumah are very expensive if it's easy to produce a Parah Adumah. Answers the Gemara, even if it's possible to create a Parah Adumah, to have 100% kosher Parah Adumah, because we know that if the animal has two hairs of a different color, it already becomes disqualified to be a Parah Adumah, that is actually very hard to accomplish. Or Maishna, the two. So why did they look at the animals of Doma ben Asina? Answers the Gemara, that family, there was a chazakah that there were pure kosher pura adumas born to that animal and that family, and that's why that's where they worked on getting a pura aduma from. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rav Ami Rav Yitzchak Nafcha Akel de Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. They sat on the porch of Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Pasachad Minayi VeOmer. VeKenai Rav Elazar Omer BeKol Abonis Kulan. Rav Elazar says that all kabonis may not come from animals that this we may not buy any animals for carbon from Akum. Pasach Idach Minayi VeOmer May Osiva Lechav Roiler Belezer. What do the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Lezer ask on him? The Pasuk says, that when Mashiach comes, the Kedar, which are from the family of the Yishma'elim, will donate Karbonis. Answers the Gemara, Amalahem, Kulam Gerim Gerim Heilas Lavai. When Mashiach comes, all of the Akum will act properly, as the Mefarshim explain. It's not to say that they're going to be accepted in Klal Yisrael, because the halach is, as we've learned earlier in our Masechta, when Mashiach comes, we're not going to accept Gerim. But that won't change the fact that they're going to all act appropriately. Amrab Yosef, Mikra, where do we see that when Mashiach comes, even the Akum will act properly? Ki oz apachal amam sofa brura. So we see that they're going to act properly. Amalei, by Dumam Vavedes Kachavim, Hudadabu. Maybe the Pasuk means that they won't be any more Agdei Vadazara. But how do we know that they won't any more be accused of Revia? Amalei Rabbi Yosef, Lov the Shchamechaksev. They're going to do everything that's proper. Mechlaikas on the Mefarsh, how do we understand this? Some explain that they're going to act, they're going to do all of the mitzvahs. The Mashal says they're not going to do all of the mitzvahs, they're just going to do the Zayin mitzvahs b'nei noyach. There's a beautiful vort from the Gro. He says, "Az epoch al amim sofer brura." He says it's not that in this world the goyim do not believe in God. They believe that Hashem is a lekod lekod, the God of all gods. But that they believe that they're also auxiliary gods, chas v'shalom. Says the pasuk says, however, as apachal amim sofer brura, when Mashiach comes, they all have the same voice as we do. They all will believe that there is only one God, and there aren't any chas v'shalom auxiliary gods. Rav Papa Masna Hachi. This is the version of Rav Papa. However, Rav Zvid Masna Hachi. V'tavai Amar. In other words, the difference between this version and the previous version is in the previous version, one spoke up, and here they both were speaking. And according to this version, they both asked, that Rav Elazar says we may not buy an animal for carbon from the Akum. They quoted the pasuk called saying, to which Rav Elazar says, kulam gurum, garim gurum, heim lasad lavai. That when Mashiach comes, they're all going to act properly, and they won't be concerned that the animal was nerva. Mikra, And the basis of the pasuk is Ki oz epach al amim sofer brura liper kula b'shem Hashem. Masculine Rabbi Yosef, maybe they're only dumim averus kachamud adribei, but they're still going to do the other averus. Am le'abaya love the shchamechiksev. Meisvei. The Gemara asks, the Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paroi, "V'yom Moshe gam ata titem b'yadenu zvachim v'oilus, that you're going to give us zvachim v'oilus." We see that they took from Paroi the akum kabonis. Answers the Gemara, "Koyde matan Torah shani." Before matan Torah, this halacha did not apply. Ask the Mefarshim, but even if we'll say that this isra applied, weren't these animals nevet? We know that in Mitzrayim, the Mitzrim worshipped the sowing the sheep. So these animals aren't possible because of nirva. They're already possible because of nevet. So Mefarshim answer that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim and the Mitzrim saw who is the true God, they were mevatel, they nullified these animals from being avodah zarah. And at that point, the Isser of nirva came back to these animals. And the reason that they weren't Asr must be because it was Kaidim Matan Torah. Toshma, the Pasuk says, V'yikach Yisrei Choshe Moshe, Oilo Zvachim Alekim. So we see that Yisrei, who was an Akum, they accepted Karbonis from him. And so says the Gemara, Hanich, Yisrei Nami Kaidim Matan Torah. Yisrei was before Matan Torah, and therefore there was no problem. Ask Mefarshim, but we know Yisrael became a ger. So Mefarshim give two terutzim. That even though Yisrael became a ger, the Gemara is assuming that these animals he had from before he was a ger. And once our Gemara says that an animal of a goy is osur, it's osur under all circumstances, even the animal of a ger. Others say that the Gemara is assuming that even though Yisrael was a ger, and he did the right thing, and he didn't sodomize animals chas v'shalom beforehand. However, the Gemara is assuming that he purchased the animals from the local Akum. And here we're saying that we're not allowed to buy an animal from an Akum. To which the Gemara says that this was before Matan Torah. Ask the Gemara, Hadnich l'man dami Yisrael k'adam Matan Torah hava. According to the opinion that Yisrael in fact came before Matan Torah, it's a very good explanation. Elamanda Omar, according to the opinion, the Yisrael Ach Matan Torah Hava, the Yisrael came after Matan Torah, Mayikul Meimer. We're back to our question. Answers the Gemara, must be Yisrael, Yisrael Yisrael Zavon. Ask Mefarshim, how can we say that Yisrael came after Matan Torah? The Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai separated himself from his wife. But, and the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says that he did the right thing. But if Yisrael only came after Matan Torah, and Yisrael was the one that brought Moshe Rabbeinu's wife Tzipporah, how could he have separated before? So answer Mefarshim, what the Gemara Masechta Shabbos means, not that he actually physically separated himself. Rather, what it means was that he decided that he no longer will live with a wife. Ask the Mefarshim, furthermore, if we say that Yisrael came after Matan Torah, let's look at the sequence in the Torah. Parshas Yisrael begins with the story of Yisrael, and then it goes on to teach us the whole parsha of Matan Torah. So even though we do indeed have a rule of Eim Mugdam Ma'uch B'Torah, still typically the Torah is going to go in the proper sequence. So why did the Torah first tell us the story of Yisrael and then tell us the story of Matan Torah? Shouldn't have the Torah gone in the proper order? Answer the Mefarshim, there's a very specific lesson that the Torah is trying to teach us. The end of Parshas B'Shalach records the episode of Amalek. The beginning of Parshas Yisrael teaches us the parasha of Yisrael. And the Torah is trying to contrast the difference between the rishis of Amalek, how he had no fear of Hashem and waged battle against Klal Yisrael, versus the tzidkus of Yisrael, that he left that world and came to Klal Yisrael. Toshma, ask the Gemara another question, Rabbi Elazar, who says we may purchase karbonis from, who may not purchase karbonis from Akum. V'yom Shaul, me Amalekim Havim. Shaul had gone to battle with Amalekim, and he was told not to take anything. He did take some of the animals. And Shmuel asks him, from where did you have the animals? V'yom Shmuel, me Amalekim Havim. I took them from the Amalekim. Hashachom al Am, Ametiv Atzoyim v'abakar leman zvach l'shem l'kecha, that we save these animals to bring as a carbon. But according to Rebbelezer, we're not allowed to take the animal of a carbon. And says the Gemara, it doesn't mean that they actually brought the animals. My mativ, the main mativ. They sold these animals and they used the money to buy animals for kabbonis. So why is it called mativ? It doesn't make a difference. And says the Gemara, keich the liquid suleim zvina. Shaul said that these animals that the Malakim had were obviously high quality animals, and they sold it and they got a lot of money from which they could buy good and many animals to bring as a carbon. Tashma. The pasuk tells us that David HaMelech had conducted an unauthorized census of Klal Yisrael. And because of that, there was a terrible disaster in Klal Yisrael, and thousands of people had died. And God the Navi tells David, if you want to stop this plague from affecting Klal Yisrael, Tashma, he says, go to the home of Arvona Yevosi, which is actually a space, the spot where the Beis HaMikdash was ultimately built, and bring Kabbonis, and this will stop the plague. So David HaMelech comes, and V'yoyim Arvona al David, Yikach V'yal Adoni HaMelech HaToy Be'enof Re'a Bokal Oilam V'morgim V'kli Bokal Eitzim. You can take whatever you want for Kabbonis. How could you take for Arvona? He wasn't a Jew. And says the Gemara, Am Rav Nachman, Avon a Ger Toshev Hayo. He was a Ger Toshev, and therefore you could take kabbonis from him, animals for kabbonis from him. And points out the Ragged Shavin, the Tzofnus Paneach, that even though the halach is that we don't allow a Ger Toshev to live in Yerushalayim, at this point Yerushalayim was not yet designated to be the Ir HaKadosh, and therefore Avon was allowed to live there. He says you could take Morgim. Ask the Gemara, my morgim, amayla mita shel turbal. Ask the Gemara, my mita shel turban. Is the course of digestion. It's like a flat piece of wood that has grooves on the bottom that look like sharp teeth, which the animal stood on to thresh the grain. Amrav Yosef, my craw. Hine samtich lemayri choritz, chodesh papapias, todesh horim, vesodok ugvoyes kait moitz titim. Meisri, so Gemara asks another question, Eliezer. On Rabbi Eliezer, there's a parasa elu oil Hashem. The pasuk discusses that the Plishtim captured the Aron Hashem, and they put it in front of the Avodah Zarah. They come the next morning, and the Avodah Zarah fell in front of the Aron. They put back the Avodah Zarah in its place. They come the next morning, the Avodah Zarah had fallen in front of the Aron and was all broken, and this continued for many months. And furthermore, the people of Plishtim became very sick. They got hemorrhoids. And the pasuk says that they thought that this was all happening to them because they had captured the Aron. So they did was, they took cows that were still nursing their children, attached them to a wagon, and put the Aron on that wagon. And they decided that if these cows try to turn back to where their children are, and it's not because of the Aron. But if these cows, even though they're so attached to the children, will walk towards Eretz Yisrael, it's a proof that this is happening to them because of the Aron, and they just want to rid themselves of the Aron. So the pasuk says that they indeed went directly to Eretz Yisrael, to the city of Beit Shemesh, and the pasuk says that these cows, hel oil Hashem, how could they bring these cows as a carbon? We aren't these cows from the Akum. And Rebbe Elazar says we're not allowed to bring cows of the Akum. And says the Gemara, Haraz Shahaisa. It was a special situation. And says the Marachanam Mustabi that this was a special situation. Do you like Temahoche, oil in the cave of Mi'ika? Do we bring a carbon oil from a female? Says the Gemara, Ma'akasha. That isn't a question. Dilma, Babamas Yachid. Maybe these animals were brought in a Bama Yachid. Ukrav Adabahava, the Amar of Adabahava. Menayin la oilus nakeva, she shared with Babamas Yachid. That even though normally we shouldn't bring a female as a carbon oiler, on a Bama Yachid we may. Shnav yikach shmuel telech cholov echod vilei la oiler. Says the Gemara, and the Pasuk says, Vayaleu, Zochamashma. So how are you bringing a raya that a Bama you could bring on the keva? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Vayel Lehoksiv. Look at the Ksiv. The Ksiv is Belosh in the Keva to teach us that on a Bamas Yachid, even in the Keva, can be brought as a carbon island. Rav Yaichanan Amar, the Gemara goes back to our original question. The Mishnah, we said that we're not allowed to leave animals with the Akum because we're concerned of Raviyah, and then we said we're allowed to buy animals from the Akum for carbon. So Rav Yochanan comes to answer that question, and he says, and even though we learned earlier the Rav said that the Akum doesn't do Raviyah with his own animals because it becomes sterile, to which Rav Yochanan says, Kvo Yeshla, there's a difference in age. An animal under 3 years old, nekeres, becomes sterile through sodomy, bashal shonim, and in nekeres. It doesn't become sterile. Tosfos interestingly points out that nishtanu ativim, and the nature of the world has changed. And even though Rabbi Yochanan says that in those times, animals below three did not became nekeres, that is no longer the case nowadays. And animals have children even at a younger age, which is the basis for a lot of discussion in the Paiskim. When do we say Nishtanu Ativim? When do we not say Nishtanu Ativim? The Paiskim seem to say the following. We certainly don't rely on different medicines that the Gemara suggests should be used for different diseases, because we say Nishtanu Ativim. However, if a halacha was established, we follow that halacha even if we have reason to believe that the nature of the world has changed. And that's why, for example, we're not allowed to mix meat and fish, even if we could suggest that perhaps nishtanu ativim, we don't say nishtanu ativim, and the halacha remains that we can't mix meat and fish. They asked in Rabbi Yochanan all these psukim that indicate that they brought the karbanos from the avdei avodah zarah. And Shanalu, and he answered that all those psukim are talking about pchusim v'ashal shanim, where the animal can't become sterile, it doesn't give birth anyway. Toshma, Sagmar asks from the pasuk that we just discussed with the story of the Plushtim, where the pasuk says, "Vas paras halo oilo Hashem," and Rabbi Yochanan answers, "Pchusim v'ashal shanim," that again there those animals were less than 3 years old. Ask the Gemara, Maskler of Hunav Rav Nosson, M. Cain, Hainav Espenayim, Kol Babayis. As we explained, they kept the children at home. According to Rabbi Yochanan, less than 3 years old, they wouldn't have children. But not, we learned in the Mishnah, Parvachamar, if we have a Parvachamar, B'nai Shalosh, and they have a child, and we don't know if the child is a Bechor or not, if they were just 3 years old, we assume that this is the first child and it's a bechor and it's given to a kohen. Bekan ve'elich, if it's older, it's a suffik. And hamoitz mechaver olav araya, and we don't give from the kohen. So we see it doesn't happen before 3 years old. So how can we say that those cows were less than three? Al mechvatik adashnina minkara, we have to say there was a rosh shah. So Gemara goes on to discuss for a moment those paras. The pasuk says, "V'yusharnu paras b'derech abeis hashemes." My v'yusharnu, because even though pasuk pshat and v'yusharnu means that they went straight, say to mefarshim, the pasuk already says, "Losoru yeminu small." So what does v'yusharnu mean? Amrav Yakan Mishum Rameya Shamru Shira. They said a shira. Rezut b'tuyama shishishu b'neim kineged orim, that they faced the orim v'armu shira. And in fact, this is the basis for the halacha, that when one walks away from the orim kodesh, he should be facing the orim. My shira amru, amru b'yachanam mishim rameya, oz yosh mosh b'nei Yisrael, where there it says, ki ga ga, that all of the idols of the world were made into nothing. Here too, they realize the supremacy of Hashem over the avodah zarah. Rav Yochanan Deyama v'matam v'yoyimahu hoidu l'Hashem kiru v'shmoy. The world will realize the greatness of Hashem as became evident then. V'shim melaksham v'mizmoy v'yisoyma. Miz m'shir l'Hashem shir chadosh k'neflas asoy hashliya m'nizrei kotcha. Why is it called the mizmoy v'yisoyma? Because it doesn't say who authored the mizmor and why it was said. V'lozim Hashem Melech Yirguzu Amim is the mizma that was said. Meshum Ba'Nachmeni Yama Hashem Melech Goyis Lovesh V'Yitzchak Naframa Royni Royni Ashita Hesnoifti B'Royv Hadoreich Hamuchakeshes B'Rik Meizov refers to the Aron that has made out of Shita wood, out of wood covered by gold. Hamulola B'Dvir Amon Mufira B'Adiyah Dayim. It has the Dvir in it. Rav Ashni Masn L'Hodr B'Yitzchak Ha V'Himin Tzoy Aron V'Yomim Moshe Kum Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kum Hashem. At that point, asked the Gemara Yisrael, my Amru, what did Klal Yisrael say in response? Amr Rav Yitzchak, Roni, Roni, Ashita. Amr Rav, Kman Kor Parkoi, Parsoi, Lesef, Devir. Based on what do the Persians call a Sefer Torah? A Devir, Mehocha. Vesham Devir, Lefnim, Kiriya Sefer. The Devir is called, the Devir is the Sefer. Amr Avashi, we command Kari Parsoi, Lanida Dashtana. Why did the Parsoim call Anida Dashtana? Mehocha Miki Derech Noshmali, just like we find that Rachel said Derech Noshmali, here too, Dashtana stands for Derech Noshmali.